felt that in Venice as well, because that was the first Jewish ghetto. So it was incredible. Yeah.
And we're still here. We're still here to tell the story. And just that amazing eternity of the Jewish people to be able. I mean, we went down Shabbos morning. We walked from the hotels, a bit of like a 20-minute walk. We were there for a few minutes in the Altanoy. In the there's still services that happen every Shabbos morning, and just it's an incredible feeling. And we said some Tehillim there. We actually davened afterwards in a different shul, but we prayed there. We said some Tehillim there just to be in the same shul as the Maharal, doing the same thing he did. I mean, he did it on a much higher level, obviously, but doing the same thing he did for me was also like an amazing, amazing thing.
You are listening to the JP Show, where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Okay, everyone, welcome to another JP Show. We've been off for a couple of weeks. I've been traveling, a bit of vacation going on. Things aren't with normal routine, but we're back. And today, I'm not here with Rabbi Levi, but I'm here with my daughter, Bela. Hi,
Hello.
Bela.
Hello.
How you doing?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing good.
Excellent. So the reason I'm here with my daughter, Bela, is because myself and Bela and I should say, we just came back a few days ago from a overseas trip. We took a trip together in a few places in Europe and then New York. And it was a really amazing trip. I think we both enjoyed it. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely is. I definitely enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay, there you are. I did too. Was a bit out of my comfort zone. I don't normally go Europe traveling, but Bela inspired me, so we did. And we went to Prague and Venice and London. And so many things happened there and so many lessons to talk about. So I thought we'd spend this JP show talking about our trip a little bit and sharing with you some of the things that we experienced. So let me ask you, Bela, first of all, you went to Prague in Europe before New York. We went to Prague, Venice and London. What was your favorite place? I mean, they're all good, but what was your favorite one and why?
Well, I definitely enjoyed all of it, but if I had to choose one, I would probably choose Prague.
Okay.
It has been a dream of mine to go there since I was like a very small little girl. Probably like it was amazing to be at the same place where the Maharal and like where we who we come from and other great people like don't come from, but other great people who have lived there. The same place where the Kliarker lived and the Nazir Bihedza.
Wow, so these are all great, great people. So Prague, just for those who don't know, Bela was talking about the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal lived in about the 16th century. He was an amazing Kabbalist and philosopher and mystic. And he was the chief rabbi of Prague, lived to a very ripe, I think, over 90, right? Was it 90?
I think so.
Yeah, he lived over 90
Yeah.
with his wife, Peril, who was at his side, and she was a great supporter of his and a help and so on.
She also learned a lot.
Yeah, she was a Torah scholar in her own right. That is correct. That is correct. And as Bela mentioned, we actually come from the Maharal because that's why our name is Gerari, because he wrote many, many books. One of them is a commentary on the work of Rashi, the famous commentator on the Chumash. And he wrote a sefer called Gur Aryeh. Why is that? Because he came from the tribe of Yehuda, right?
It's going to be in 2 parshiyos time where we read Gur Aryeh Yehuda.
Right, where Yehuda, so Maharal was from King David, which means he knows he was King David. He's from the Davidic line, and he therefore came from the tribe of Yehuda, which is compared to a lion cub, a Gur Aryeh in the as Bela says in Parashat Vayechi. So yeah, so that was very special. So that was your highlight. So for now, for a little bit of a lighter question, Bela, what do you think my favorite place was?
I definitely know it was Venice. You love Venice.
Yeah, I did actually. So I love Prague for all the reasons you said, but I don't know, something was really amazing about Venice. I'm not sure what it was. I think it was, I don't know, it was just like a real old shtetl and just very special for some reason. But we'll get to that in a few moments. So, starting with Prague, let's start with Prague again because that's your favorite place. It was the first place we were there. We were actually there for a Shabbos as well. So many things we did in Prague. It was so beautiful. So many special moments. But maybe you could talk about one. I don't know, one special moment that you felt there, that you had.
So I think the moment where I felt like really wow is when I went to the Maharal's caver, like Maharal and Peril that buried right next to each other.
Right.
It was really an amazing moment for me. I don't know how to explain it. It was just really felt like wow, like this is It's real. Like, I don't know. I come from this special person and he lived here and yeah.
Yeah, I actually noticed that. I actually noticed we were standing there. I noticed that you were very, like, almost emotional, and it was like
Yeah,
a
I
very
think
special
I
moment.
definitely felt very emotional.
Yeah, and I think just to, because we've talked about it for so many years, I think it's right. We've
Yes.
talked about so many years about actually being at the graveside of someone we actually come from, and we know how special he was, and what an amazing Jewish leader he was, and how much he published and learned, and yeah. So I guess that was a very special moment. I mean, there were sure. There were other very special moments also. At the same time, I think we, you know, actually, I think I'll just recount what happened was in Prague, you have to actually join a tour, and it's like everything's part of controlled by the community there. And normally it's like a part of a museum, and you have to pay to go into these various shuls and sites and so on. But we discovered that before we took the tour, which was on Sunday, we discovered on a Friday, every Friday morning, they opened the Maharal's graveside. You can go in through one of the gates of the cemetery, the old cemetery there. Just for half an hour, so we made sure to be there, and it was just like it was no tour. It wasn't actually; it was just amazing, just to dive in there and just to be there. But we were by Maharal and his wife, and then also not far from the Maharal is the
The Kleoker.
Kleoker. So you want to just say who the Kleoker was?
Well, he was one of the Maharal students. He had a very interesting story where he was taken as a little boy, raised by a non-Jewish, what would be the word for parts in English, like a
Like a
squire, I guess.
squire, yeah.
Yeah. And he was, but then he was just discovered that he's Jewish through lots of really amazing miracles and stuff, through dreams and kinds of things. But he eventually, yeah, became one of the Maharal's top students, and he wrote incredible commentaries and beautiful stuff.
He wrote this beautiful commentary on Chumash called the Kleoker, and his name was Reb
Shlomo
Shlomo Ephraim.
Ephraim.
Yeah, and he was a student of the Maharal, buried in the same cemetery not far from the Maharal. So that was also quite amazing. But you know, there were many things I know that you always learned about. You always talked about Prague, and you were very well read, and you always learned about things throughout the years, and you kind of saw them in real life. Do you want to talk about some of them?
So one, for example, is famous thing with the Gaylam. But Praga was that's always, pretty full story. A lot of, interesting things of
The
the
golem is
Gaylam.
like a almost like a human being that the Maharal created
Yeah. A
to
man
help
made
the
out of
Jewish
clay.
people.
Yeah. And I've always loved reading about the Gaylam. It's big, yeah, interest of mine that and it was pretty cool. Like we know that the Gaylam is kept in the attic and you're able to see a ladder leading up to the attic. Obviously you can't go. But it was pretty cool to be like, wow, it's real life. That's where it is.
Yeah, so we've always learned about that letter, and then we actually saw it, right? So leading on from that, I wanted to share. I think we also, I mean, Ben and I went to the Maharal Shul, the Altonoy Shul. So we took a tour. There's a number of shuls, very old shuls. First of all, for those who are not familiar with this, the shuls and the synagogues in Maharal, in the Prague were the one of the only in the world really that weren't destroyed by the Nazis, because they had this evil plan of actually preserving Prague as a museum for their what they would call the extinct race. Well, they're more extinct than we are. Obviously, we're still around and eternal. But the Maharal Shul, called the Altonoy Shul, was actually built in like the 12th century, I think, right? 12th
Yeah,
century.
I believe so, yeah.
And the Maharal was there in the 16th century. And it's still there. I mean, the actual structure is still there. In fact, not only that, but as we saw the, we actually saw the, some of you might have noticed this, I put it on social media, but actually the seat where the Maharal sat is still there. And that was,
Incredible.
I thought that was really cool to actually stand there.
Yeah.
And just the message of eternity, the message of Am Yisrael Chai, the message that we, you know, it was interesting because we were there around the same time that unfortunately, tragically, a shul in Melbourne was burnt down by modern day anti-Semites. So it does happen, and it has happened through history. But I think one of the things we see when we look into a shul that is still there, the same davening we do today, the same prayers, the same rituals. Okay, today we have electricity. Those days, there's still the fixtures of where they had the candles
The
is
women's
still there.
section, our shuls are slightly better.
Yeah, a bit more comfortable, and just amazing things. They still have a seat there in the Maharal Shul where they would do the bris, the circumcisions for the children, and just the same Judaism. And it's just a
Felt that in
testament.
Venice as well.
Sorry?
Felt that in Venice as well, because that was the first Jewish ghetto. So it was incredible. Yeah.
And we're still here. We're still here to tell the story, and just that amazing eternity of the Jewish people to be able. I mean, we went down Shabbos morning. We walked from the hotels, a bit of like a 20-minute walk. We were there for a few minutes in the Altanoy. In the There's still services that happen every Shabbos morning, and just it's an incredible feeling. Now, we said some Tehillim there. We actually davened afterwards in a different shul, but we prayed there. We said some Tehillim there just to be in the same shul as the Maharal, doing the same thing he did. I mean, he did it on a much higher level, obviously, but doing the same thing he did for me was also like an amazing, amazing thing. One of the things that just I want to just talk about, just mention maybe, something that came to mind was one of the things that is in the shuls of Prague, one of the shuls. There are many shuls there which aren't actually used. They're used as museums, exhibitions, and so on. But what the Nazis did is they were going to make this museum, so they collected artifacts like Torah covers,
Yeah,
Torah
the Kesser.
crowns, the Yad, the you know, the pointers, and all different Jewish books and artifacts and things that they had collected from different towns that they had destroyed and brought them all to Prague. In fact, some of you might remember that this exhibition, the Prague exhibition, was actually here in Sydney a number of years ago in the museum.
Yeah, I think I went to see it. I'm
As a
pretty sure.
child, right? I think we took you to see it. Yeah.
It's possible. I have a memory of it.
So I was looking at, so one of the shuls that have this exhibited, which is amazing. There's a number of different shuls in Prague, which each one has their own history. Also very ancient, very old. Some of them were built around the same time as the Maharal Shul was built. A cute fact, one of them was built by a very wealthy Jew. What's his name again?
Mordechai Meisels.
Mordechai Meisels, and he was like the leader of the congregation, but because of his wealth and everything, he built his own shul, which is a very beautiful shul. So I was observing these different artifacts, the mantles of the Sefer Torah and the silver that went on the Torah scrolls.
So that Chumash with Rashi from that really old one.
Yeah, that's
That was
right.
re that
Chumash
was
with the
really
poetry of
cool.
Rashi. Also, like hundreds of years ago, amazing. But something that struck me was two things. First of all, we still do exactly the same thing. We have the same silverware, we have the same mantles. It's just amazing. But what also struck me was that a lot of those towns where these things came from were really poor towns. They were really poverty. There was a lot of poverty. And yet the Jews felt that the shul, the place of worship, the place where they serve Hashem, needs to be beautiful. And they would invest amazing amount of effort that the mantles and the silverware should be beautiful because this idea of serving Hashem in the most beautiful way. So I thought that was just an interesting little detail that struck me as well. And I mean, just also you walk in the streets, some of them are still cobblestones, and
The streets are beautiful.
yeah, just to walk in the streets that they walked in was just amazing. Okay, so that was Prague. There's a lot more to talk about, but we're going to keep it brief. We went on to Venice. So what struck you about Venice?
Well, as I brought up before, I mentioned the first Jewish ghetto. That was an incredible thing, experience to see, like how it wasn't actually the first time where Jews were forced to live in a small thing, but it was the first official thing. And the first time it was given a name, but it was incredible to see that they thought they would like contain us and restrict us from doing so many things, but we're still here many, many years later, and I don't know, it's just incredible to see.
It is beautiful. And we actually stood at the door of the ghetto. You can actually see it's a frame,
Yes.
the door frame. And you think that that was the door they would lock us into at night for the first time they did that in history. And they were trying to contain us. In fact, we learned in a tour, which I didn't know, that the Jews could leave the ghetto during the day, but they had to wear some sort of yellow hat. This yellow symbol was way before the Holocaust and just an absolute humiliation. There were Jews that, on the other hand, that there were times in that ghetto where actually Jews were okay, meaning they were able to live and they were able to, but very crowded, and they were able to
Certain
walk.
Jews even prefer to live in the ghetto. They found it easier. Remember, we
They
learned
found it
that.
was easier and safer. That's what we learned in the tour, which is interesting. But yet they were restricted.
Yeah,
They couldn't.
most jobs they could do, there were like very few jobs.
Right. There could be bankers. There could be merchants. There could be businessmen, whatever. But they couldn't be builders, for example. Which is why some of the shuls in Venice, which are still there also, very old shuls,
They were
which
very
Sephardic.
Christian inspired, yeah, because they had to hire the Christian workers.
Right, they had to hire Christian workers, and there's a little bit of influence there. You can see where some of the design is not a typical shul design because they didn't have much say in how they would actually build the shul, even though it's very, very beautiful, but it wasn't exactly completely the way they would want to, which was amazing. But again, it's the same lesson. They tried to close the gates, tried to close the doors. Today we have that place. There's a Chabad house there. We visited. There's Bachurim students learning in a yeshiva. There's a seminary in Prague, girls' seminary. So they're still there. We're still doing it. It's just, yeah. So It was also amazing. What I felt, just it's very authentic, Venice. I just found it very, like, very much is changed. It's not very, like, it's very simple, very almost primitive, but in a beautiful way. And the buildings, all the buildings of people actually lived there, the same buildings that were built at the beginning of the ghetto, very low ceilings, because they had to build very high
You were
with the
called the like
emphasis.
skyscrapers.
Yeah, those, the
Not
ancient skyscrapers.
like Manhattan type skyscrapers, but they were tall buildings.
Exactly. They were tall because they had to get a lot of people in there because they only had a restricted amount of space. It did expand a little bit over time, but nevertheless, they have the square of the ghetto, and it was just walking there just takes you back in history. It's actually a very strong feeling. That's what I found, and it was a pretty amazing. And then we went to London. London was interesting. London is London. But we spent the Shabbos there in a very religious neighborhood called Stamford Hill. It was interesting to see I don't know, in modern day, like, a community. It looks like you only normally you think of Borough Park or Muncie or Williamsburg in
Oh, like
America.
Muncie with British accents. That's the way I felt.
Muncie, exactly. So that was beautiful. Then, of course, we spent the week in New York. So, what was your highlight in New York? What was good?
I enjoyed spending time with friends. I don't know. Like
And you
that
made
was
the year that
maybe
you spent
sadness.
there in seminary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, always good to catch up with friends. We were there. We also visited the Ohel, the resting place of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, where we always go and daven. What else did we visit?
Yeah, the oil was nice. And we also went to Zadie's caver. That was nice.
Right, your grandfather's cave, and my father-in-law. It's always nice to be there. He was a very, very special person. And now we're back, and hopefully with a bit of inspiration and can hang on to it, please God. So that's just a little bit of highlights. There was so much more to talk about, but we're going to leave it there. Thank you, Bela, for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
And we are wishing everyone, well, we're recording this on Hanukkah. Well, we're going to publish this on Hanukkah, recording on the Friday just before Shabbat. So Hanukkah Sameach to everyone. And we'll see you next time, hopefully. Thank you so much.
Thank you.